Thank you everyone for joining us today. I'm Toria Lessman, SVP Underwriting Leader here at QBE.
And I'm Danielle Nia, Vice President Underwriting Leader here at QBE.
And I'm Hannah Tucker, and I'm a Senior Underwriter here at QBE.
Danielle and Hannah, I'm really looking forward to our discussion today. Danielle, do you want to kick us off with a little bit of background about what tax insurance is?
Sure, Toria. So tax insurance is a type of insurance that it's available for corporate taxpayers to help protect against the financial consequences of intended tax treatment being disallowed by a relevant tax authority, you know, such as the IRS. It provides coverage for identified supportable tax positions.
Thanks, Danielle. Hannah, do you want to kind of go into a little bit of detail about the types of tax insurance that are currently available?
Yeah, so we have two main categories that we can provide potential coverage for. So for tax credits, some examples would be investment tax credits and production tax credits, which is what we see most of on the market. For these credits, we can insure things like qualified basis, beginning of construction risk, and recapture risk. For tax opinions, this covers certain tax positions for transaction risks. With this kind of coverage, we have three levels of opinions that we would consider. The highest is a will level opinion, which means there's over a 90% assurance level that a particular tax position will be favorable. The next is a should level opinion, which means there's a 70 to 80% assurance level. And this is what we're seeing most of on the market. Then we have a more likely than not level opinion, which is greater than 50%. This would be the lowest form of opinion that we would accept for tax opinion coverage.
Thanks for that background, Hannah. I think it's really helpful. What are some examples of tax risks that are typically covered under a tax insurance policy?
Sure. I'll take this one, Toria. You know, we really see a wide variety of tax risks. Some typical types are tax risks that relate to tax-free reorgs, you know, such as spinoffs. We also see a lot of S-corporation issues, whether that might be a specific issue identified during diligence in connection with an M&A transaction, or sometimes we see requests just for broad S-corporation coverage. We also see a lot of REIT tax risks, which could include coverage for an entity historically maintaining its REIT status, or sometimes we see requests for hybrid REIT and rep and warranty coverage. We also see tax risks related to successor liability. And as Hannah previously mentioned, we see a lot of tax credit risks, such as investment tax credits and production tax credits.
Thanks, Danielle. And Hannah, maybe you can go into some examples of what would generally not be covered under a tax insurance policy.
Yeah, so the first area that we would not cover is reportable transactions. This would include things like transactions solely for the purpose of tax avoidance and confidential transactions, since you wouldn't have all the information. The next area that we would avoid is tax shelters. While this was something that was really big 20 or 30 years ago, it's just not really something that we would cover today. Next is future changes in law. There's just no way that we could ensure what Congress is going to do down the road, as this is more of a political risk as opposed to a tax risk. Lastly would be unsupportable positions. This would be a tax opinion that's less than a more likely than not level, so less than 50% assurance. Because, you know, we need to have some sort of basis to ensure a position, and we're not here to play the auto lottery.
In these tax insurance policies, what are some of the standard exclusions that we see?
Sure. Some of the typical exclusions that we see are inconsistent positions. For example, we aren't going to provide coverage for a specific tax position and then have a taxpayer turn around and claim a different position on their tax return. That's not the purpose of tax insurance. Another one is material inaccuracies in the information provided in underwriting. You know, we underwrite under the assumption that the information we are provided is accurate. Another one is settlement without insurer consent. We really view this as a partnership with the taxpayer. And as Hannah mentioned earlier, changes in tax law is another typical exclusion, and that's usually limited to the code and regs.
Turning to our last question, what types of tax issues are you seeing on the market right now that companies should consider getting tax insurance for?
I'll take this one. So we touched on some of this in our recent tax email and blog posts, talking about things businesses should consider in today's tax market. And one big area is Public Law 86-272. So this protects companies from being subject to income tax in a state where their only activity is sending their employees into a state to solicit orders for tangible goods. While this sounds simple, the issue is that most companies see a bunch of small activities as not meeting the filing threshold, or they're misinterpreting what soliciting orders really means. So in reality, they should be filing in these states. The next big area is state income tax nexus. With so many people working from home, this is triggering a filing requirement in states that businesses were not previously filing. And with that, since state taxing authorities see this as a major source of revenue, they are really cracking down on filing noncompliance. And while nexus standards vary among states, many look at payroll, among other things, to determine if a business should be filing there. So because of this new remote workforce, businesses need to have a multi-state tax plan in place to prevent any large areas of exposure.
Very interesting. Danielle, Hannah, thanks for your time today. For more information, please visit us at qbefinancial.com. Have a great day.
This podcast includes a discussion of insurance products that may be offered pursuant to the surplus lines laws of each state and which must be placed through a licensed surplus lines broker. Coverage may not be available in all states.